Joining us now, she's an editor and a writer for LPGA.com. Amy Rogers joins us. Amy, welcome into the golf shop.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Awesome. You know, we had a great 2017 on the LPGA Tour, and we're really looking forward to 2018. What do y'all got in store for us?
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty exciting year. I don't know if you guys caught that final event of the year with a CME Group Tour Championship, but I think if we can have a duplicate of that final round, I mean, we had Arya Jatanagarn, Lexi Thompson, Jessica Korda, Michelle Wee, and Sung Hyun Park in the mix, it doesn't get much more exciting than that, and literally not knowing until the 72nd hole how things were going to finish and end there at the last, and who was going to win Player of the Year, and the million-dollar bonus all literally coming down to that last hole. So I think if we can keep that rolling in 2018, we're going to have a pretty good year.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, another good friend of the show, Commissioner Mike Wan, he really was able to revel in 2017 between, you know, all the things you said, and then you add to that the juice coming out of the Solheim Cup. So what's new for 2018 that they're doing to kind of, you know, make up for the void of a Solheim Cup absence in 2018 and generate some excitement in 2018?
Yeah, in 2017, we kind of added some more events, you know, internationally. You know, as we like to say, we're kind of a global tour. Added an event in Scotland with the Ladies European Tour, as well as in New Zealand. And then this year, we're kind of heading back more towards the States. So we're going to add two more events to the schedule out in California. Those are going to be in April, back-to-back weeks. One's going to be in Los Angeles, and the other one will be in San Francisco, where we played actually a couple years. We had an event out there at Lake Merced. So we're going to return there as well in April. So looking at about 34 events again this year. And as you mentioned, the Solheim Cup, which was awesome out in Des Moines, Iowa, where Team USA won. Not a Solheim Cup year, but we actually have another event. It's kind of like the President's Cup, but mm-hmm. I think a little more exciting given how flat that's kind of fallen the last couple years. So this is the UL International Crown year, and it's going to be staged in Korea, where golf has just become massive. I mean, you see the number of Koreans that are dominating on the LPGA Tour, and they're expecting just record turnout. It's going to be at the Jack Nicklaus course there, where the President's Cup was actually staged a couple years ago. So I think it's going to be pretty awesome. That'll be an exciting event. So that'll be in October in Korea. So that'll be awesome.
Yeah, and you and I were both at the Solheim Cup. Is there something that these other cities and municipalities and even countries can learn from the sort of all-in attitude of Des Moines on how to make something like this as special as it was this past summer?
You know, I think it's something that we've seen with quite a few of our events on tour, you know, playing in cities like Des Moines or in a Toledo, where when the LPGA does come to town, they are kind of the big act. We don't seem to have as much traction or success in some of these huge cities like a New York City, you know, where we've got a lot more competition, a lot more events going on. So we had seen that a couple years ago with a Champions Tour event that had been staged out there as well. And people really got behind it because, you know, then when a big act like the LPGA and especially the Solheim Cup, which is one of our biggest events every single year, we end up having a record turnout. So I think that's part of the key, is kind of going to these different cities where, you know, there's not so much going on.
Well, we all know about what happened with Lexi Thompson last year and the rules, and that rule has been rectified, I guess, as good as it's going to get. I'm still not a fan of somebody sitting and watching the telecast, because I still think it impacts those that are on TV versus those that aren't on TV. But it, you know, overall, what is the sense from the players in terms of how that's going to go forward with, you know, the same type of thing not happening? And it seemed like we'd get by one rules issue, and then there'd be another one, and then there was another one. It didn't matter, you know, what tour we were talking about. It always seemed like there for a little bit that it, as it was dying out, there was another rules issue that was always coming to the forefront. So would it be nice to maybe have a year where it's less about the rules and more about the golf, maybe?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that seems to be the unfortunate thing so much of the time with the LPGA. It's like you only are getting attention when you're having these controversial moments. And there's so much talent and there is so much golf, great golf to be played, you know, like a Solheim Cup or, you know, just a little recognition for So Young Yu, who did win the ANA Inspiration and did go on to beat Lexi Thompson, you know, after that ruling. But yeah, I'm definitely with you. And we've seen it on the men's side too, mm-hmm. you know, with Dustin Johnson at the U.S. Open as well. And the rules have kind of, you know, taken over some of those events, which is unfortunate. But what's great is the USGA is aware of it, and they are acting a lot more quickly than they have in years past. To see them go ahead and rectify that as quickly as they did, I think all the players were relieved to see, and to know that's not going to happen again, you know, just random people sitting at home and calling in, and especially days after the fact. So I think it was a great move by the USGA, and I think the players were glad to see it change.
Yeah, I mean, your thoughts very closely mirror those of another friend of the show, Ted Bishop, we had on last week. I asked him, though, is the next frontier that, you know, once a scorecard has been validated and attested to by your playing partner, your caddy, the official who's with you, that once it's signed, it's over, and there's no more revisionist history? Is that the next step?
I think so. You know, it doesn't seem like, you know, with the change with, you know, getting a penalty for something that you didn't even do, you know, and getting assessed those extra strokes. I mean, how can you rectify, you know, you didn't have a chance to make it right. So, yeah, with this change as well, with, you know, people not being able to call in after the fact, I think that's what we're going to see going forward.
Yeah, and with the LPGA, I mean, it's obviously the tour is healthier under Mike Wann than it's been, you know, in recent memory, and nearing $70 million in total prize money this year. You know, what's your sense for where this can go? I mean, women's golf is growing in the junior ranks. Is this all part of, you know, something that could help save the sport?
Oh, absolutely. We're seeing that as well in growing, you know, the junior game with, you know, LPGA, USGA girls golf program, which has just exploded under Mike Wann's leadership as well. And we're continuing to see the number of girls being introduced to the game. You know, they're the largest growing segment in golf right now. And as those girls continue to come up through the game, you're only going to see the college ranks then get stronger, as well as the professional ranks as well. You know, and we're seeing a lot of players coming over from the Ladies European Tour. We also have the Symetra Tour as another feeder to the LPGA. And that whole process now has become so competitive, you know, with so many girls playing great on the Symetra Tour. You know, if they win several times, they can earn a battlefield promotion to play on the LPGA, and we've seen that. You know, just 2 years ago, Madeline Sagstrom set the single-season earnings record out on Symetra Tour. So we're seeing the strength of that. So they've ended up changing, you know, the qualifying process to the LPGA. They're introducing this new LPGA Q series last year, what's going to help to kind of even out, you know, how the girls qualify, you know, and where they'll be placed on the priority list as they join the LPGA. So it just shows you how strong the competition is getting, you know, from around the world. And I think we're going to see that continue to grow as well. Like I mentioned, with us being a global tour, you know, we're seeing, you know, Arya Jitanagarn from Thailand becoming the first player, male or female, to win one of golf's majors. And we're going to continue to see that from different countries as well.
Again, we're talking with editor and writer of LPGA.com, Amy Rogers. And Amy, when we start talking about players that have had some struggles, and now struggles is with some quotation marks, because Lydia Ko still had a very successful year, just didn't win and didn't really kind of live up to the standard that she kind of set for herself, a la what we've expected out of Tiger Woods over the years. You know, we saw kind of the same thing happen as well with, and I just drew a blank, Antigua girl, Stacey Lewis. You know, where it almost
Antigua girl. Yeah, Antigua's our official apparel provider for the show, so we know about her.
But it almost nice took plug. It almost took Stacey Lewis having to donate the money and the pressure being off herself to win a golf tournament. Lydia Ko starting to fall into that same kind of realm where, you know, runner-up finishes and losing leads and stuff like that is starting to get into her head. Do you think that she's going to be able to turn this around anytime soon and get back on top of the leaderboard and win some tournaments?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, and I don't think Lydia is one that really lets the pressure get to her too much. You know, I think what we saw from Lydia this past season was just a player who was really trying to come to grips with all the changes that she made. You know, we'll see it with Tiger, you know, changing his swing. We'll add to that changing your equipment and changing your instructor in a single season. And that's what Lydia did during, you know, last year's off season. So to do all of that at once was just an enormous change. So to still do what she did, 11 top 10s, I think was pretty impressive. So I think, you know, we saw her later in the year, you know, pick up a couple runner-up finishes. I think she was finally starting to get comfortable with some of those changes. And I know this year she, instead of practicing, you know, during the off season in Orlando, she actually went out to Phoenix, where, you know, PXG is headquartered. her new, clubs or PXG, which she had switched to from Callaway. So she can be closer with them as she kind of works through her bag and those changes. So I think that's only going to further, solidify her comfort with them. And we're going to see her definitely return to the form that we knew in years past.
Yeah, I mean, can you help our listeners understand just how disruptive all those changes can be? I mean, we see people change a ball here and there. We see them change apparel. We see them change clubs. We might see them change caddy. Might see them change, their agent. She changed them all. to someone who doesn't understand it, who doesn't have a life like that, how difficult is that? How disruptive is it to make all those changes all at the same time?
Yeah, that's huge. Like you said, that's why we are saying you might see someone change a caddy. You might see someone change that because they know how hard it is, but for her, she really wanted to recapture kind of the excitement that she had when she was a rookie. She's won every season up until last year on tour since 2012 as an amateur. We forget how young she is. She's been out here so long. And even for her, it gets kind of stale after a while. So for her, it was, wanting to change it up, do some different things. And hey, I guess if you're at it with one thing, you might as well throw in the rest. So, but it shows you what a strong, strong young woman she is to still play as well as she did. We've seen guys make swing changes over the years and miss, a string of cuts, and we never saw that from Lydia. So, I just think, as she continues to get more comfortable, we're going to see her, return to form.
Are there a couple of players that you're looking at that are just going to, are just going to come out guns blazing in the first part of the season that are just going to, win golf tournaments? I mean, is there somebody poised to just take over the LPGA Tour right out of the gate that you see?
I think one of the players we really need to keep an eye on is Sung-hyun Park. She ended up being named Rookie of the Year. She made history first since Nancy Lopez to also be named Player of the Year. Now, granted, she had to end up sharing it with So-Yeon Yoo. They were both co-players of the year because on the LPGA, they do it based on a point system, unlike voting on the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of strange. But Sung-hyun Park, I think, is going to be one to watch. She became the first rookie ever to reach number one in the world this past year. And before she even came to the LPGA, she dominated on the Korean LPGA Tour, where she won 7 times in a single season. And there's something about her. She just has that, it factor. She just seems sort of mysterious in a way. Her nickname is Shut Up and Attack in Korean, which I think says a lot about somebody. So I think she's definitely one to keep an eye on, and I could see her dominating for years to come.
I like that, Shut Up and Attack. Mine's Shut Up and Eat. Let me ask you this before we let you go. Yes, it's an international tour, but we still need American stars in this country to resonate. Mm-hmm. Who should we be looking at maybe that's emerging or someone who's going to make a big comeback that could get the American players back on the radar?
Yeah, obviously Lexi Thompson, I think, is going to be a great one to watch, seeing how she bounces back after that short miss putt on the final hole at CME and how she uses that as a motivator this year. I think we saw Michelle Wee, show some great signs of form this past season, finally being healthy, not dealing with any injuries. She actually ended up just having an appendectomy in August. But save for that, I think, who knows what could have happened this fall. And she ended up putting herself just a few months later at the top of the leaderboard at our season-ending event. So, she said she was sad the season was ending, and we were too, because who knows what she could have done. So I would think Michelle Wee is going to be one to still keep an eye on. And one of the young ones coming up, a rookie this past season, Angel Yin, she actually just broke through and got her first win on the Ladies European Tour right after the LPGA season ended, and she is a bomber. She played in the Solheim Cup. She was just blowing it past everybody. So I think she'll be one to watch in the years ahead as she kind of, comes up through the tour. But another great American to keep an eye on.
Yeah, we pleaded with Michelle Wee for months and months, a couple of years ago, saying just stop playing and get healthy. Because, it was just lingering things that were going on, and one injury was leading to another, and you're compensating, mm-hmm. and you're screwing everything up. So, yeah, we are pleading with her just to stop. So, hopefully, she she does remain healthy. And, I guess it's one of those things where, we talk about the Tiger void and who's filling the Tiger void. Well, look at all of these ladies that have the opportunity to win golf tournaments week in and week out. I mean, there's so many more than there ever was in the past. I think it's great.
Yeah, exactly. There's so much depth and talent out there. And I think just, you know, once people get out there and they do watch them and see them, you know, a lot of times people will say, too, their games are a little more relatable to the rest of us, you know, and they hit a lot of greens, a lot of fairways, so they're great to emulate and to watch.
Well, Amy, we really appreciate you hopping on with us, and we look forward to chatting with you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.